e concesso ha nominato Benjamin Franklin Pinkerton luogotenente nella cannoniera Lincoln Marina degli Stati Uniti Americana non per alla damigella butterfly del quartiere in augura Nagasaki d'unirsi in matrimonio e dritto il primo della propria volontà.
Keith Miller discovered his love of singing later in life than most. He was a fullback at the University of Colorado, went on to play professionally in Europe, and was on track to join the NFL until he decided that he wanted to devote his life to opera. He stopped playing football, enrolled in Philadelphia's Academy of Vocal Arts, and in just 5 years as a professional singer, he has appeared in over 200 performances at the Metropolitan Opera. He's currently singing in the Met season opening production of Donizetti's Anna Bolena. Anna Bolena will be transmitted live in HD in select movie theaters on October 15th at 12:55 p.m. Keith also runs an opera teaching program called Puissance Training, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show. Hello.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Now, it is very unusual to go from football to opera. Were you always interested in music?
Music to a point. It started off just when I was in the farm in Colorado. Your only choice was country music on an FM, AM stereo. But as I got into college, people were listening to hip-hop and all the stuff I'd never even heard of before because we just didn't have access to it in a little town. So I started that journey and on a date took a girlfriend to Phantom of the Opera and discovered the musical theater setting and that kind of music.
But Phantom of the Opera is not opera. It's just a musical about opera.
Yes, it's the first time I ever saw. I think I saw a Garth Brooks concert, a Paula Abdul concert, but it was the first time I actually saw a story being told on stage with music. So,
but you must have known that you had a voice that might lend itself to that. Did people ever comment on it? Hey, Keith, you have a nice singing voice.
No, I never spoke much. I was always very quiet, very reserved. Was raised under the children are seen, not heard. And that was really it. And the hardest thing for me was when I first discovered it, I would buy musical theater CDs and sing in the shower while I'm a bass. And you can't sing tenor repertoire. So I just said, okay, I'm not a singer. I like the stuff, but I can't do it.
Well, in the locker room, as I understand it, most athletes play heavy metal or hip-hop. I doubt that you would have been encouraged to play some opera CDs while you were preparing for a game.
Right, that's putting it slightly. No, I actually did listen to the Queen of the Night aria before games after I discovered opera. It was something that really focused my attention. It kind of was a very nice way to make all of the other noise go away because I could focus on this one voice that sounded like an instrument and help me focus for the game.
How did your fellow players react to your interest in opera, your new interest in opera?
There was some teasing, but it wasn't like when I was playing that I was actually really into opera. I didn't sing it much. I was just goofing around. It wasn't like something that it was part of my life at that point. That didn't happen until after I was done playing. And then now I have a bunch of guys writing back like, hey, man, that's really cool.
Well, I'm assuming your goal, like so many players in college football, was to play professionally.
No, it really wasn't.
What did you think you'd do after you left school?
I never knew. When I was in high school, it was my junior year, and all I was worried about was, you know, I had a history test coming up, and we were going into playoffs for our second state championship in a row, and I started getting these letters from colleges. And I never even thought about playing in college because we played six-man football. I was in this podunk little town. And the next thing I know, I'm being recruited by schools and being offered scholarships. And then I remember it was my junior year of college, and I had a great junior season. And my coach came up to me and he said, hey, you know, are you going to stick around for your senior year?
Well, fullbacks are a real commodity in football. Halfbacks less so. I mean, there are a lot of star halfbacks, but fullbacks are the guys who do a lot of the grunt work and do a lot of sacrificing.
Yeah. Well, and it's also a position that's being phased out. It used to be that was a standard position on every team in the league.
The bull.
Yeah, and that's something that every college had was a starting fullback. Every professional team had a starting fullback. Now you're lucky if even half the teams in the league have them.
But you did wind up playing professionally. You went to Europe.
I went to Europe. I played in Europe. I came over to the States.
And NFL teams.
Yeah, I had workouts with the NFL teams. They had spring football leagues that they had started here, and I played on three of those seasons. And then all of a sudden, I was training at a college, and I walked into a practice room, and I was goofing around. I had a Don Giovanni CD on my CD player, and started singing around in a practice room, knocked on the door, and the guy said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "No, I'm sorry, I'll leave. You know, the coach gave me permission to train. I just saw this open door." And he goes, "No." He said, I'll give you a scholarship if you want to come sing here." I said, "Oh, come on. You know, hey, I'm just, you know, sorry, I'll leave." I was walking out the door, and there's a advertisement for a young artist program called Pine Mountain Music Festival. So I grabbed a copy, and I walked out. You needed one aria. And so I walked in, no materials, and I sang the audition. I got back home. It was in Minneapolis. I was in Fargo at the time. Got back to Fargo, and there were six calls offering me roles in various operas.
But you'd done that by ear. You couldn't read music at this point.
No, it was like karaoke for me. It was literally like karaoke for me, and so that was what started it.
Well, some football players study dance to improve their footwork and agility. Do you think that your training your singing training helped you at all?
Singing training for football, you mean?
Yeah, well, I'm sure the other way around, because football, opera requires a lot of physicality.
Yes, it's more the dedication of studying film, the perseverance, and being able to really see long-term what's going on. With football, you know, when you first watch film, you say, okay, this is what's happening. But then as you really study in the professional level, you start to see how a certain athlete's moves can be anticipated, and you can trigger that anticipation by giving them a false read, and you start to, for the first time a play happens, you've already predetermined the outcome. And that is kind of what happens with music. You already know the outcome, but you have to make it seem like it's happening for the first time.
Well, this is acting.
Yes.
And you had to learn how to act as well. First, you had to teach yourself how to read music.
I had to teach myself how to read music and just technique to a certain point. Reading music was one of the hardest things, because I was at this young artist program. It was 8 weeks long, and they said, "We know that you have this background, so the first 4 weeks we're going to train you on your role, the second 4 weeks and the two scenes that you have." I said, "Okay, great." As soon as I got there, they gave me two extra scenes and a scene in the first opera, and I was part of a touring concert to help promote both shows. And I walked into the church basement on the third day, and 10:15 at night, and they were shutting down, and I talked to the janitor. I said, "Listen, there's no way that I'm going to be able to make it if I can't stay and practice somewhere. Can I please stay?" And the guy said, "Yeah, just lock up when you're done." They gave me a key to the church. I figured out where F was on the staff with the two dots and on the piano, and by listening to a recording and playing through the notes, I figured out what the sharps and flats were and the different keys and accidentals. And I remember the first time I ever went through the sextet in Giovanni, I hadn't rehearsed it or coached it with anyone, but I had taught it to myself. It was the greatest moment of achievement that I felt when it came to that, because the rest of the time I was just out of water. These other kids had master degrees in music, and I was an idiot.
You'd had an experience with playbooks, which could get pretty complicated, so this is in a different kind of a playbook, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all the same. I mean, if you have the ability to really look at something and disassemble it and then put it back together, that's how football works. That's how any business works.
I was trying to think of some other people who sang, who played football in college. You came up with Paul Robeson.
Yes.
Were you aware that he had done both?
I didn't know who he was until someone said, "You should sing Old Man River." And then, of course, his name popped up 1,000 times.
So here you are. You were with the Denver Broncos?
I was on the reserve roster. I was working out with them. They'd bring me in for workouts on every week with the injuries and everything.
And then you decided instead to leave that all behind. Were you aware of the odds at the time? 1 million to 1 to make it in pro football, but 2 million to 1 to succeed in opera?
You know, my wife probably gets tired of me saying this, but you get to a point in your life and you draw a line and you say, "Never will I go back across," and you figure out how to make something happen. You know, this whole country, this entire world was founded by people who figured out how to do something that had never been done before. And you know, you have all of these examples in front of you. I'm not going to sit there and say, "Here's an opportunity that I've been given," which isn't given to anybody. You know, someone gave me a chance of a lifetime. So obviously they see things in me I can't see myself, and I'm going to figure out how to do it.
What about your friends and family?
My family's been very supportive, even though they don't know what's going on. I remember...
Well, you come from a farming family. They probably, and as you suggested, never heard opera until they saw you perform in one.
No. They knew of it, but they really switched. It was my sophomore year in college, 1994 season, and I tore my PCL and part of my ACL. And my folks were gung-ho about football because it took them a while to actually figure out that I went from such a small town to one of the top universities in the country playing for the championship. And then when they saw me come out with a leg cast and crutches, they really got kind of hesitant. They're like, oh, he can get hurt. So then when, you know, they never saw me play professionally. And then when I switched to singing, they had no idea what to really make of it. They just kind of, now they really like it. So it's been a really weird transition from them.
My guest is Keith Miller, who is currently appearing as part of the cast of Anna Bolena, which opened the season, the Metropolitan Opera. How many more performances of this?
I believe we have 11 more. I think there's 12 total.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, other operas are also presented. You couldn't do this every night as you would do a Broadway show, could you?
No. In the past, I remember 2 seasons ago, I was probably singing 3 to 5 times a week, though, in different operas. They were smaller roles. They've been graduating me up and through the ranks, but that season really took it out of me. I was singing many times, 2 shows in 1 day. It was pretty tough.
Well, you started pretty much at the top, although you've been with some other opera companies. The Met is the top as far as this country is concerned. You've been described as one of the Met's leading compromario singers. For non-opera buffs, what does that mean?
It simply means you're not singing the lead roles yet. Mm. And when I first got to the Met, I actually auditioned for the Young Artist Program because I said, you know, I've only been singing for a total of 4 years. I need training. And the idea of auditioning even for the Metropolitan Opera was just completely absurd. So I sang for the program, and I remember the phone call I got, and they said, we really loved your audition, but we just don't think you're right for the program. And I went, thump. But we'd like to offer you 8 roles. And I said, what? How does this work?
So they're offering you work without offering you the training.
Yeah, and the way they did it is they said that we're going to start you off with the smallest roles possible and groom you because your best singing is going to come from 50 to 65. And if that's where you start the major Verdi roles, the big, you know, roles of men of stature, and you backtrack down, this is how we build that career path.
Opera is so strange in that way. Most other performances, or especially dance, you're finished by the time you're 50 or 60. But people just come into their maturity in their 40s and 50s?
It's something that is really, well, it's earned. The stars of yesteryear were that way. You look at the great times. I mean, Wunderlich was singing his prime, you know, 50 years old. He sounded amazing. And today, I was having this discussion with someone else. Forgive me if there's someone I don't know of or forget, but basses between 50 and 60 years old internationally, I can't name one. Mm-hmm. I can name a couple 60 plus and from 50 down, but at a prime age for a major voice category in the world, I can't think of an international superstar bass between 50 and 60, and it's terrible.
You studied at the Academy of Vocal Arts, and many people ask you how your football the colleagues reacted to your interest in opera. What about the singers? Were they curious about your background in football?
It was curiosity, but it was also a lot of prejudice. They thought that I was being put into the school because I was some media gimmick. And it took a while to earn their respect. They're like, hey, you know, I always felt what I was capable of, but being able to do it, I didn't have the tools at the time. So they were judging me based on what I was able to do, which was fair enough. I was at the top training program there is. But at the same time, they're like, well, he's only here because he played ball and they're going to use it for media and blah, 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 blah. But then when I actually started to sing and get work, they're like, okay, well, maybe he's okay.
And maybe they get their revenge in this current production of Anna Bolena because you're Anne Boleyn's brother, George, and he dies along with her, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Yes.
So let's talk, we don't have a lot of time, but let's talk about the opera training company that you've created called Puissance. Where did the name come from?
Puissance, I was sitting there with my trainer and we're trying to figure out what to call a program that would describe the elegance of opera with the power and the force that's needed to really build the body to sustain a long career. And Puissance was something that came into my mind.
You had to take dance lessons as well, I imagine, and language lessons?
Yes, yes.
All of that? And you're teaching that to kids?
Well, that's part of the opera company that I run in Colorado, the Crested Butte Music Festival. So I run the opera portion of that, and Puissance training is the physical training, which helps them prepare for altitude acclimation, just getting more comfortable with the body and breath.
After Anna Bolena, what are you going to be doing, do you know? Because don't singers know what they're going to be doing for the next 3 years at least?
Yes, it's a long track, but actually the coolest thing is on November 7th I'm going to become a father. And then I've got a couple of concerts coming up. I make my Opera Colorado debut in Florence and Amazons. I return back to the Met for more Anna Bolena and for Billy Budd.
And we're going to go out with you singing, I'm trying to remember what, as the King of the Demons in Armida, which a performance that you did at the Met.
Yes, yeah, it was a very fun, very physical role. I was running around all over the place with that one.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Keith Miller. You can see him at the Met in performances of Anna Bolena and also the live HD presentations at select movie theaters on October 15th at 12:55 p.m.
Qui ci chiama, con intorno la fama, il nome espande di rinaldo. Il primo frate muti campioni di colui che sugli astri per nostra pena eterna, il tutto a suo piacer muove e governa. Pur amoroso laccio, il guerrier forte re la rimane.